Capital 263.
What's happening, good people? You're listening to My Two Cents. It's your boy, Elliot Twist. And unfortunately, my co-host with the most could not make it today, but special shout out to her. Yeah, she's steady on the grind. And Nas, we've got a very, very special guest. I think every guest is special. This is the man who's behind the Zen Blog Awards, the Social Media Awards, and he had a hand in the Fringe Festival that just passed, and a whole lot of other stuff. So we're going to find out more about what's what with my man right here. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you good night. Don't lie now.
And the crowd goes wild.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yo, man, what's up?
What's good? What's good?
How you doing?
I'm all good, man.
Yeah. I'm good.
Today, the moment your dispensation.
Yeah, Sean, you know how that goes.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's been an interesting week. I managed to attend the Zim Dance Hall Summit yesterday. Oh yeah, that would be yesterday. But then if you guys are hearing this, that would be like a week ago. That was like a week ago. Yeah.
Yeah, a few days ago. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I was there and it was dope. I got to check out the panel. Unfortunately, I got sick and I didn't stay there for too long, but I did manage to catch some very valid points, like from people like Anana, Sniper, Anana, Ricky Fire, and all those, you know, the legends and stuff from the movement. You know, they were just dropping gems of wisdom and explaining how Zim Dancehall started. But the panel for me, I felt all the panelists, even I kept connected to the event online, and I felt like the panel was really solid and they were dropping gems of wisdom. And then unfortunately I didn't see a lot of artists there, and Zim Dancehall has been doing so well, in my opinion. They're the guys who've managed to just make music that's moved from ghetto, middle class, top class, whatever it is. The music has just cut across the board.
Yeah, true.
And it's got that appeal. But then certain things need to be put in place in order for it to make sense in dollars. I don't know. What do you think about the summit?
I think it's a really good initiative to have people in any industry come together and put minds together to think on how better to make that industry more viable and more sustainable. I mean, Zim Dancehall has been the predominant genre in Zim music for a few years now.
That's true.
But I think it's noticeable to everybody that they're on the decline.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
It's like they're running out of creative juices now.
You know, and maybe audiences are somewhat disconnecting to the genre itself or the content of the genre. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also raising alarm bells for the people who rely on Zim Dancehall for their livelihoods.
Yeah.
Because if the genre is dying and that's your stock and trade, mm-hmm. then where does that leave you? So I think it's essential, it's like an intervention from, you know, stakeholders within that genre to say, okay, we're not as prevalent and as robust as we used to be.
Yeah.
We're on the downward decline. What can we do to stop that downward trend and get it back to where it was, and the trajectory of, you know, going forward and even exceeding the borders of Zimbabwe? I think the reality of Zim Dancehall, it's a conversation we're having earlier, is how it was, especially when it started, going on to now. Because if you track where it started, Zim Dancehall is that one genre that established itself without mass adoption.
Yeah.
They weren't being played on radio. They had to create their own models of distribution. So you found the Bin Lues, the Icemans were the people who pushed the genre. And then the Combis, the fact that it went direct to audience.
This, exactly. That was genius.
Exactly.
You know, they didn't have to wait for formal channels to get word out on their music. It just Song yangu duna na soto zaidi mangwana. Ah, chinege changu zara kwese.
Exactly. So it was like an underground movement that forced the mainstream to adopt it.
Yeah, that's true.
As the years progressed and as, you know, as more music was churned out.
Yeah.
What made it such a force was the fact that it was ghetto stories being told by the ghetto. Exactly. And representatives from the ghetto for us, by us. Yeah. And shout out to the old school.
Yeah, man.
So I think, you know, that was the core and the essence of its appeal, was that the people, the target market it sought to connect to felt that their stories were being represented by people who understood. Now we've come to a point where, you know, Zim Dancehall has saturated the market, so now it needs a little bit more. The quality of sound, for starters, the quality of music. Well, like I was saying earlier, that it wasn't an export product.
You know, I was listening to, I think, Dikilati. There are two songs that he dropped, right? I mean, they're off his latest album. Two different songs, but they sound exactly the same. Like, the rhythm is the same, the beat is the same, the instrument, everything is just the same. It's just a different lyric.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
Exactly. And you know, it's monotony to the ears.
It is.
So besides the fact that the sound is now sounding similar, you know,
that is a problem.
Over the years, we've been listening to the same sound, but the quality of the sound. So you'll find for export, if we're talking about Zim Dancehall going beyond our borders and becoming an export product, what you really wanna, for example, you have people. I'd talk to certain people in SA involved in the music industry, and would send them some music that's being played on local radio.
Yeah,
we want trying to get it played in South Africa, and they would say, "Look, this is demo quality. It's being played on our radio stations. It's a hit, or it's got widespread airplay. But for them, it's demo quality, and they're not going to play it."
Now you see, here's another problem: the producers who Dancehall didn't come to the summit as well. They boycotted the summit. Now, given what you're telling me right now, in the conversations that were had yesterday, I feel like some gems were really missed. And they could have done a lot to benefit their movement.
Yeah,
because unfortunately, Pane Nunzi, ego over progress. And we do that all the time.
It's a hindrance to yourself.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, when such things happen, no matter what your status or level in the game is, beginner, intermediate, or if you consider yourself a guru, you know, it's always good to come and meet minds with other people, learn. There's always something to learn from anybody.
There's always something to learn.
Yeah, and contribute your two cents. Okay, this is how I see it as a guru in the game, as an intermediate in the game, or as a beginner in the game, and see how other people respond to it and what their input is, because you always come out richer with input from other people. So
exactly.
I think not attending is shooting yourself in the foot.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So Drake dropped his new album today.
Yeah.
Scorpion. I have not listened to it. But I'm a Drake fan, man. Like, partly. In fact, no, not partly. I'm a hardcore Drake fan. But hey, Zaka Zitwana Pusha T manj. My guy, that was brutal. I didn't think you would come back from that. So I'm yet to listen to the album. I don't know. Have you managed to listen to the album yet?
I haven't yet, unfortunately. Haven't. But my timeline today was blowing up.
Yo, my timeline was filled with scorpions.
Yeah.
It felt like Drake is one of our own. But then I saw, people got mad love.
Yeah.
For Drake, like, they got mad. Yo, this dude got beat down in a battle, and they're still coming out and that, and they're millions. Like, yo, this is our guy.
Listen, I'll be honest. Even if we go back to the beef, I'll be honest. I like Push. You know, he's one of the hardcore traditional hip hop heads.
Push is a lyricist.
Yeah, but
he's a lyricist.
I'll be honest. That battle, for me, people will say Drake lost.
Yeah,
but Drake had the better diss song.
Duppy?
Lyrically.
Duppy.
Yeah. Because Pusha T, right, what killed it for people was the content. Because he went, Drake released a song that was, it was a lyrical jab. Pusha T just brought out the sledgehammer.
Pusha went personal. Pusha went personal. Pusha started talking about things that had nothing to do with him.
I mean, you were like, what the fuck? What? Drake started what? With who?
Pusha took it to the next level of data on some savage tip.
Yeah, it's like, you know, playground fight. You think you're slapping each other. The next thing, someone pulls out a knife and you're like,
no, this wasn't a knife. This was a gun.
Bazooka, even.
Yo, shot him right in the head. Anyway, I'm yet to go through that album. And just to get a feel of what it's like, I sincerely hope that Drake came through, because a lot of people were watching and a lot of people have already, you know, crowned him a legend. You know, they say, oh, he's a legend. You know, they were calling him a legend before the album had already dropped, like minutes just before. After Angotaran and go release Sashamara, Pasel Pantu Bunera, no one on Bunyan Sita, deep into the tracks, they were already calling him a legend.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting just to dig into that. Although someone just came through right now to the studio and they were like, that album's crap. So, I don't know. But it's a double LP. So, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, look forward to listening to it.
It's going
to
be interesting. Yeah. Okay, so, Kudzi, the conversation is shifting, in fact, onto you.
Cool.
So, you are behind the Zimbabwe Blog Awards.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
What is the main... Well, in fact, could you tell me a bit about what they're about?
Okay.
What is the main purpose?
The Zim Blog Awards were... it's an initiative to recognize and reward, you know, the best and the brightest in our blogosphere, content creators generally. So we focus primarily on, you know, bloggers, vloggers, podcasters, photographers, and more focused on the platforms that they own.
Yeah.
Primarily, and how they've been able to establish them and create content that connects with audiences. The idea behind that was for the longest time, people have been blogging, releasing content, but from a brand perspective, you know, there's been a neglect in recognizing and collaborating with our bloggers, even though they do command audiences, and they do have people who love their content and really, really connect with it. So the idea was to shine the light on the best and the brightest within that space and showcase that we do have a vibrant, healthy blogger, vlogger, podcaster, photographer space, and these are the creators that are in it, and this is the content that's within it, and according to the process that we set up, these are the people who are the cream of the crop. So we wanted to bring that attention to that space, so brands and potential collaborators are aware that, you know, there's value to be added from that industry.
All right. Do you think you managed to get that message across with the first event?
I think by and large we did.
Did you manage to get that message across to the corporates? Like, do you think you managed to grab the attention?
We did. I mean, from a purely partnership perspective, because this was the first of its kind, we had Zoll come on board as one of the headline sponsors, and that's
I thought that was awesome.
That's a premier brand in Zim.
Tel1
was interested. We had Fine and Country as one of our sponsors as well,
because if you think about it, all those institutions you just mentioned, Zoll, Tel1, these are the data owners, you know, and we content creators are the reason why people would buy data.
Exactly.
You know, so it makes sense.
It makes sense. Telesel was also one of the category sponsors. So by and large, for a first-time initiative, the fact that those kind of players came to the table was, for us, you know, a thumbs up and a recognition that, you know, there's something about that space that they recognize can be valuable to them. And also considering the fact, from an audience perspective, that the voting that happened from the public, we had over 60,000 votes coming.
Your website crashed at some point, right?
Yeah.
I remember looking that up, and you guys apologized. You're saying,
Yeah, we apologize. We're sorting out our website. Something's up. So your website crashed.
It crashed. I mean, we had our bandwidth was for the package one. It was the highest level of bandwidth you could get, but it still crashed. So our host had to create a new bandwidth package just for us.
Wow.
Because of the amount of traffic we were getting, and I mean that for it speaks volumes for itself. That, you know, the audiences came out to support the bloggers and content creators that they, you know, they felt should be rewarded. And that shows how engaged people are with the content that these content creators are creating.
I'll be honest, you know, I'm just going to put this out there. The Juice was actually nominated in the entertainment category. So I thought that was cool. thought that was cool. So I remember seeing pictures that were posted online about the event.
Yeah.
You guys got bashed for the decor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing Mama Ken, Makrit.
Yeah.
Angangu fugizwanenge machira like so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was behind the decor and how did you handle the crowds? Reaction. Like what are some of the lessons you felt came from that?
Look, I don't feel any type of way about that. It's things like that. It depends on your taste. I was pretty happy with it because look, it was a first time event. We weren't really out to try and make money from it. So even the sponsorship packages that, you know, were offered were pretty affordable, to put it lightly, you know. So the event itself was it happened, and in large part thanks to the partners that we had, and for one, Moto Republic hosted us for free.
Wow, that's amazing.
And Lock Nation and her team were such a vital resource in working with the minimal resources that we had to make, you know, the awards something presentable and, you know, for people to be accommodated. And I think by and large, you know, the essence of it was great. So people can comment and have, you know, their opinions about the decor, but, you know, we were trying to be creative. We were trying to have a difference, not be your typical kind of awards within, you know, like I'm saying, the budget that we had. And I think by and large we had a successful event. People came, people ate. You know, our sponsors were happy.
Well, at least on Orange, bro.
So I think by and large, you know, we had a pretty successful event, and the most important objective or marker for us to vet whether or not the event was successful was, did we garner the attention for our industry that, like we sought to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, one of the winners of the blog awards is a good friend of mine now. I didn't know her before. The owner of Tingu.com. She's a travel blogger and she won best travel blog.
Excellent.
And she has been getting work
as a result
of being the best blogger in the travel category through the awards.
Wow.
She's now partnering with, you know, National Parks and Wildlife, with ZTA.
That is
so
dope.
That for us is testament to the success of the event, because that's exactly what the point was, that we want to shine light on the content creators and for brands to see the value in them. So job done for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's, for a first time event, there's obviously things that we can improve on, and we're working to improve it.
You know what I've come to learn is, there's no such thing as a perfect first event.
Yeah.
They're all just, it's all just lessons.
Yeah.
Lessons for the next thing. So, I don't know, you can either choose to catch feelings or learn.
Exactly.
And usually winners learn. So
we're happy with how it went, and like the lessons were taken board. People had some issues with the voting platform, how the votes were structured.
Are you gonna do that differently this time around with the voting?
How
were people voting in the first instance?
So we had the way it was structured was, the voting was not for the final winner. The voting was to narrow down the finalists.
Oh.
So we took,
so who decided who the winners were?
So we had a panel of judges that took the top four according to the public vote. and then determined the winner on a set of criteria that had been laid out.
Okay. But then that seems fair to me.
Yeah.
That seems fair to me. Would you change that?
Well, I mean, we were trying to... We didn't want it to be a publicity contest, because there's a lot more to content creation than just how popular you are.
Exactly.
You know, how marketable exactly. is your content?
Quality.
Quality. How good is your website?
Quality.
Exactly. So we try to then have the quality technical aspects handled by people in the know. And our panel of judges reflected that. We had Faith from VMCZ, you know, handling content.
Yeah.
We had Mike Tashaya looking at marketing. We had Zenzele Ndebele from Site,
right.
Who's a seasoned media personality,
yeah.
looking at also content, the usability of the content. We had the WordPress, Charles Mzonzini from WordPress Harare, looking at the usability of the actual blog or platform that somebody uses, how easy is it to use for,
yeah.
how customer or user friendly is it.
So yeah.
we really try to narrow down on the technicality. So people, we had Simukai who looked at the analytics of each platform. So from the from the pure numbers perspective, which platform is doing well. So all those factors contributed to who actually became the eventual winner.
All right. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
Y'all really thought about this. So now you guys are taking it up, stepping it up a notch. You've got the social media awards?
Yeah.
All right. Now that's different.
Yeah.
Now when I heard that, I was like, ah, come on, guys. What are we doing here? Are we awarding people now who are getting likes and retweets? Is that what we're doing?
I understand now. It can seem that way.
I think my biggest fear is, will we not then have a situation where people are going above and beyond for likes? Can we have a situation like that? Papa Facebook Live. But anyway, you guys came up with this, so I'm pretty sure it was a reason as to why you decided to go that route. Can you tell me a bit about the social media awards?
So
this is so funny. So there's a guy in the studio right now who's trying to open a packet of chips quietly. and we're trying to record. That's like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. All right, man. But it's all good. Just wait for the crunch, though. The crunch. I wonder how you're going to silence the crunch. Okay, fam. So tell me a bit about the social media ones.
Yeah, so like I was saying, the social media awards for us, it's the Zimblog Awards was like the first part, but it's not the complete picture of our influencer space, because essentially what we as Tribe of Influencers represent is influencers across
Tribe
the board
of influencers.
Yes, so we want to map the full influencer space in Zim. So the Zim Blog Awards were focusing on more on people's proprietary platforms. So your blog, your vlog, this, you know, your podcast, or where whatever platform hosts your images, or where you showcase them as a photographer, right? But these social media awards are now focusing strictly on the social media aspect. So in the social media space, who are the influencers there? Who are the ones connecting with audiences in that space? Who are the ones doing social media the right way? Not only to recognize them, but also, like earlier on, we're talking about standards in an industry, to set the marker in the same way that the blog awards set the marker for these are the best and the brightest according to this process that are doing it in this space.
All right.
Same thing for social media. According to the set criteria that's there, these are the ones that are doing it the right way, or doing it in the best way, in the way that connects with audiences. And we want to also shine the light on that sphere. So
also, basically, you're looking at this from a positive perspective, where maybe you're going to be focusing on individuals who are bringing maybe a positive impact within their community via, or just online, positive impact online. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So it's across, because we've got like 25 categories.
Oh,
of,
all right.
Of what you know, of social media, yeah. Influences that we're looking at, from best Facebooker, you know, across the platforms: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
yeah.
Snapchat,
yeah.
Best WhatsApp group.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are looking for the best WhatsApp group.
Best WhatsApp
group.
How
are you gonna get like the deets on that? Like
again, it's
how do you measure the best WhatsApp group? How do you do that?
So the nominees are going to alert us to what they feel. Because right now the nomination process is open to right. the public, and the public is nominating.
Because I'm in a lot of groups, man.
Yeah. So you feel
people are posting all kinds of stuff.
So you feel what? Stuff look, like this is the group. This is the group, you know, I get the most value from. And then so it's like with any category, people are nominating who they feel best deserves it. Right.
So you guys got 25 categories?
Got 25 categories.
Do you not feel like that's a lot?
We're trying to be as comprehensive as possible. To like we said, the objective is to map out the influencer space as holistically as we can across the Zimbabwean social media space. So we try to be thorough about the kind of what the influences we're trying to glean from that. So with this process, we've kind of flipped it around in that the judges won't be the final arbiter of the winners. What's going to happen is, after the nomination process, the judges are going to then narrow down the finalists from the nominees that have been submitted. One of the criteria we included was for you to be considered a viable nominee, you have to have a minimum of 5,000 followers across all your social media platforms. That's a bare minimum threshold. So if you're going to qualify to be nominated for the best Twimbo, for example,
yeah.
then across all the platforms, you should have a minimum of 5,000 followers. We're trying to set...
I'm sure that's going to narrow everything
yeah.
down.
I mean, if we want to give a true measure of influence, then, you know, I know there's a big debate going on right now about, you know, reach and followers aren't as important, but they do play...
And you know how people buy followers, right?
Yeah, we do.
So, do you guys have something that's going to guard against the fakes?
Well, it's like I said, it's a minimum threshold to say, look, for any given... I mean, if you're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook... a minimum of 5,000 to be considered an influencer of some sort. Micro or macro should, you know, or mega should be attainable for you. We're not saying have 5,000 on Twitter. We're saying have 5,000 across the board. And I think that's a minimum standard. And then our judges will deliberate across, you know, online impact, your social media presence, and then we'll delve into the popularity contest, where after the judges have narrowed down the nominees, then the public will vote for who they think should win.
Can I ask you possibly a silly question? But what do you think, what would be the end? I can see the end game with the blog awards. What do you think is the end game with the social media awards?
The end game is for us to figure out who is the influencer of note in a certain platform, or who are the influencers. So it's not really the winner, obviously, is that's a key finding for us, but it's more also because the nomination process is wholly public. We don't nominate, we open up to the public to nominate.
Also, they nominate their people,
right? So that's a vote of confidence from the public. If the public nominates you or your platform or your social media account, you know, then somebody's gaining some sort of value from that, and it probably means that's an account that they frequently visit and
right.
you know, respect, trust, like
right.
And for us, that's a marker not only to ourselves but to brands that, look, these are people that other people feel.
Ah, you just said the magic word.
Yeah,
brands
have value. And we'll go back to even what we're saying about the Zim Dancehall Summit. The two key criteria for any industry are viability and sustainability. And at present, our content creation influencer space is not viable.
Right.
People are finding it difficult to make money from being a blogger or being a social media influencer or personality, because there isn't a standard set and nobody really understands the space and who's doing what and what considers, what qualifies them to call themselves an influencer. And this process is really meant to remedy that. What makes you an influencer? Look, I'm a social media award nominee. I'm a social media award winner. And there was a process and a thorough process behind that. And now that space has some sort of definition and some sort of standard set, because we're trying to create a viable and sustainable influencer space for all our content creators.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
I see. All right. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it. All right, fam. So, you had a hand in the Just End of Fringe Festival, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about why it came about, or how it was born? Well, is it true that it was born as a result of people being pissed with Haifa? Like, all the black peeps were like, Haifa wants to jetty then. This is how it has been saying. But,
I mean, that's the rumor, or, you know, the grapevine kind of sentiment. But really, what the Fringe came out of was a group of people came together and wanted to create a space. I mean, we talked about the For Us By Us. Shout out to the old school. So essentially, it's the same thinking that went into the Fringe in terms of it was an artist-led initiative. So artists came together and they said, look, we want to have our own space, our own thing, and create a platform for ourselves where we can showcase our talents and be rewarded in a way, you know, that it seems more favorable to us.
As opposed to what Haifa was giving them.
I guess people have had grievances, whether it's Haifa or with other promoters or experiences in the past, you know. So artists took it upon themselves to create their own space. And I think that's a noble thing.
Yo, I'll be honest. When I heard that the Fringe was being created, I was very happy. Yeah. And at the same time, I felt like it came in too late.
Yeah.
The Fringe should have come up years ago. Before the whole scandals began, I just feel like the Fringe should have come up years ago. We should have just had that platform existing already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, I'm just glad it's there.
I think also, you know, we will work on a better late than never mantra. So the fact that it started when it did, I feel like right now the creative space is going through a period of introspection. Recently, I was part of a creative think tank that was held at
Theatre
in the Park,
yeah.
Where, you know, people in the industry across the whole creative sector, be it theatre,
yep,
music, dance, whatever the case might be, people came together and were really assessing how again to have a more viable and sustainable art sector, creative sector. Also, recently there have been overtures to create a chamber of creative arts, which has had a stillbirth of sorts, and it's still kind of being polished. And the creative think tank is trying to feed into that as well. But all these moves that are being made within that arts and culture creative space, you know, they touch also on why the Fringe came up at this time, even though it was long overdue. Yeah. In that right now, there's really a mindset within the arts sector that something's missing and something's not right.
Right.
And how do we fix it for ourselves?
Right.
And these are all the moves that, you know, the participants and the players and the stakeholders in the industry are trying to make to create a more viable and sustainable industry for themselves.
Right. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
So how was it last year? Did people come through? Did people support? What was the vibe like that you got from the public?
It was good. People appreciated it. I mean, I'll be honest, it could have been better. I think also because
It's the first one.
It's the first one, and the timelines maybe did not allow as many of our potential audience to find out about it. But like I said, getting started is always the most important thing, and we did have people come out to support. We had Operation Restore Legacy as one of the fringe, as part of the fringe. The attendance there was
good.
That
was great. That was great.
You know, we had big concerts with Bob Nyabinde, with Mbeu, with Pauline.
Yeah.
You know, we had dance.
Yeah.
We had Chipao. So we had other theater productions that showcased there. Jason Pepo came and did his one man play. Tendai Guja did dance. We also had Arterial Network during their talk. So from a program perspective, it was robust, and it touched on all the silos of the arts sector, and I think that's a positive thing, It can only grow from strength to strength from here on.
So it wasn't a black or white issue, really. It was just an arts.
It was more of an arts thing, and I think, you know, people try to pit it against Haifa to say because it was all at the same time as Haifa, it's a competitor. There's no competition in the arts. You know, it's an option for audiences in the same way that however many clubs in any given city, and each one is open on the same night. It doesn't mean if Pablo's is open, then people shouldn't go to Centurion. It's options. If you want a more chill vibe. Or Tipperary. You know, and Tipperary is something for the audience that they serve, or the patrons that they're looking to serve, in the same way that Pablo's has theirs, in the same way that Maestro, or Vitro, or, you know, or John Way Corner.
He one party state mentality. We just believe we could change.
We can't have multiple projects running within the same space that are somewhat identical but different at the same time.
So I feel the same way. Like, you know, we look, it was just giving audiences another option. So look, if you wanna go see Takura tonight and you feel like Takura at Haifa or Lira at Haifa is your thing, you go do that. But if you feel like you want to come watch Jason Pepo's one man theater show, you come do that. It was just options. So it's not a competition, because at the end of the day, it's the art sector giving platforms to artists to express and monetize their work. So it's all good with me.
But how did you feel about Haifa paying that person Maria Pizza how did you feel about it?
I mean, their justification for it was the
fact. 12 dollars get a 24. I'm not sure. 24, 12.
Get to my sense. Yeah. But you know,
but
like,
is there gonna pizza?
Look, I won't be quick to criticize, because sometimes their justification was there were people who get paid set rates, and then there are those who opt for a percentage of gate. And if you opt for a percentage of gate and your show doesn't do well, you know, maybe so if you're getting 20% of gate and 20 people come, then maybe $20 is your take. I mean, for us, even a theater in the park, we have arrangements with artists for percentage of gates. Sometimes shows do better than others, you know. So I won't be quick to, I wouldn't criticize them for that. If that was the arrangement and the show didn't do well, you know, it's a high risk, high return situation. If the show does well and you're getting percentage of gate, then you do better than somebody getting a set fee. But if it doesn't do as well, then maybe you lose out. So it's, you know, it's part of the
hearing
industry.
You talk, I think you're the PR guy Haifa needed. So if there are any Haifa people listening, this is your guy. Because I can't choke him after this.
Yeah.
All right, fam. So you've come to the second segment, and it's called Soundbite.
Yeah.
And I got a soundbite here that I'm keen to hear what you think about. So, you know, it's an interesting one. So I would like your 2 cents after this right here.
Wayne has been around since before my first husband, right? So he's always been part of my relationship. So when I get into a relationship, he's the only thing they ask about, because they know. Well, what about Wayne? Will you stop seeing Wayne? I hear it. I've heard it. And the answer is always no. You either get over it, or you leave. those are your options, because I'm not getting rid of him. Initially, people, and again, I've never hidden him. Like, Wayne will call the house at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I will answer. And if he says, I'm at the skate park, or I'm here, I will get up, and I will go. That's what's going to happen, and you've got to be okay with that. And it has happened. You know, his...
So basically, you'd be in bed with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne would call in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
and you would go see Wayne.
Yes, and I'd be gone for days.
You'd be gone for days.
Absolutely.
Okay.
When you enter into a relationship with me, that comes with it. And you have the choice not to enter into the relationship. You always have that choice. You can always say, this is too much for me. I can't, this is crazy. But that's not what people say. People say, that's not a big deal. I can deal with that.
So this is Lil Wayne's, I don't know if I can call her an ex.
Is that super hit?
Yeah. That is her.
Sakatombo uti une chimoko chako mudhara and chiri kufonerwa na fodza makuseni na ex ari taradanza acha ukiyakapa kana pa join apa cha over disappear nae for days mudhara for days. And then come back. How would you take that, fam? Would you even sign up for this?
Look,
give me your 2 cents.
I'll respect this, man. She says it's not a surprise. Like, yeah. It's not like you walk in and all of a sudden she's been pretending like you're the one and only. And then Wayne calls and it's like, well, who's that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, never mind that. I need to go. I'll explain in like a couple of days when I get back.
Yeah.
Nah, she's telling you from the jump that, look, I have a situation with Wayne. There's a soft spot for him or whatever it is that's allowing him to be a constant factor in her life.
You were good.
Look,
it was just that I. Tatum, she goes away for days. How would you handle that?
But what she's saying, I would have known about Wayne.
Oh, so you'd be cool with that?
If I'm carrying on the relationship with her to the point where I'm in bed with her when Wayne calls, then obviously
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, then obviously I've signed up for that. It's like I used to watch the show on TV where people are swingers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have, it's something that people were married.
They have rules.
They're swinging. And they will say, look, it's Friday, let's go to a swingers party. They'll go drop car keys in a bowl.
Yeah.
And somebody else picks the car keys. Off with your wife. Do what they do. You pick some car keys or some lady. Off with her.
Yeah.
Do what you do. Afterwards, you come back. Baby, how was it? Great. Let's go get some pizza.
Wow.
We good.
Wow.
Oh, what I feel like is with adult relationships, you know, honesty up front, that's the most important thing. Don't hide shit. So if you're gonna have a situation, like she says, and you're upfront about it, then that's my decision to make. Do I want to stick around for that? Look, Wayne is in the picture. Am I comfortable with that? I for one wouldn't be, cause I'm a greedy guy. I want to be the only guy around. You know, I'm not trying to share nothing with nobody. It's not it's not a party.
She's going away for days.
Yeah, this ain't a buffet, bro.
Take a packet of my things. Packet of my things. Don't go to give my Zimbabweans.
It's buffet, you know. It's Jamaruji, free for all. It's my meal. You know, this is a private dinner.
And y'all ain't invited.
But if she's upfront with it.
Yeah.
And she tells you the situation from the get-go.
Yeah.
And you assess the situation and decide to partake, then that's your thing. You have to live with the consequences.
Oh, like the first time I watched that video, I was just like, wow. Wow. And she's kind of hot, though.
She
is very hot.
And apparently she gives, you know, I mean, the name says
that's why
it
she's
for
called
herself.
Superhead.
Yeah. So if you're there thinking, I want to get me some Superhead, never mind Wayne, I'll deal with that later. Then, yeah, when Wayne pops up,
yeah,
it's the price you pay for some Superhead. That's your cover charge. Take it.
I don't know if that's just. It's complicated.
It's complicated, man.
Yeah, it's very complicated, really, but I would never willingly sign up to that.
Neither would I. It's like I wouldn't sign up to an open relationship or a swingers relationship for that matter. But people are doing it. And the way I feel about it is if you're honest with each other and that's functional for y'all, I'm not going to judge you.
I think jealousy just kicks in, though. It's dysfunctional.
I mean, it could work at first, but at some point.
Yeah, like for me, I'm a greedy guy. I couldn't. If you look at another dude too long, we're gonna have some words. Like, who that? What you see?
I mean, what's all this then?
But yeah, man, hey, yeah. It's crazy.
So fast forward, now we've come to the third segment, and it's called Celebrity Story.
Yeah.
So this is where you just share a memorable moment with either a local or international celebrity that you have met. It could be a funny story. It could be complex, you know, tricky, embarrassing. Maybe you got tongue-tied or starstruck.
Well, I won't tell any stories about local celebrities because, hey, people will kill me out there. So
No. We don't want the gossip. No. We are not H Metro. We are just looking for a real story.
I'm going to tell you a real story. The I forget his name, man. He used to be on the what's it called? The Watch? No, wait. What's that drug series called? I forget his name. Forgot the name of the series, too. It is an American actor anyway. It was this drug.
It's about drugs.
Yeah, the drug series. It was big in the mid 2000s. I keep thinking it's The Watch. It's not The Watch.
It's not The Watch.
Oh, what's it called? It's
all right.
Yeah,
keep going.
The name slipped my mind. Anyway,
yeah.
I think his name was. I've even forgotten his name in the show. Long time ago, man. Anyway, I was in Cape Town, local bar. During my college days, so the local bar we used to frequent, me and my friends jump in. It's a typical Friday night, and we're by the pool tables, and there's this dude in the corner, you know, wearing a hoodie, just, you know, doing his thing, not really talking to anybody. So I don't really play pool, I'm more of a watcher. So I just go stand next to him and we start talking. We're talking. The more I look at this dude, the more familiar he seems to me. So I'm asking him, like, dude, we've met. Like, where have we met before? And it's like, nah, it's the first time here, whatever. But I'm hearing their American accent.
Ah.
So I'm like, but where's this American dude? I don't know, but I know his face looks very
dark in complexion with a scar.
Yeah, what's
with the scar?
Yeah. What was the name of that show?
I can actually see the scenes.
Yeah.
I can see the scenes in my head, but the name is just...
Yeah, and he's a big movie star, because even in some movies he's been out. Anyway,
yeah.
So I'm talking to the guy, and then eventually it hits me. Like, yo, this is the dude. He's that dude. So I even like, you're the name.
You're
that dude from the show.
Who calls the dude for
yeah,
now?
Yeah, you're that dude. And it's like, nah, man, it's not me. It ain't me, bro. It ain't me. And I'm like, so I call my homie up. I'm like, who this dude? My homie's like, I don't know, man. I'm like, give him a good look. Homie looks at him and is like, wait, that's the dude.
The dude.
He calls the next homie. Next thing, the club shut down.
Oh!
It was a mess. Everybody was on him.
Oh!
I mean, he had been standing there for I don't know how long, and people hadn't recognized.
Everyone hadn't noticed?
At all. And then it went back.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh, autograph! Oh, bitch!
It went crazy, bruh.
Was selfies a thing back then?
Selfies were a thing, bruh. People were taking pictures without his consent. People were just coming to stand next to him like, hey, shoot me.
Oh, snap.
So he was so pissed off of me because I'm the one.
Because I'm the one
who caused, like...
You ruined his chilling time.
He was there to shoot a movie, it turned out, and he was just, you know, trying
just
to
chilling.
Absorb the local environment, you know, trying to see, like, what the kind of experiences his character would have.
It's called The Wire.
The Wire. Yeah, man, that's the guy, The Wire. So I ended up having to take him to town and, you know, buy him drinks and show him a good time just, you know, to apologize.
Really?
Yeah, just to apologize for what had happened.
For blowing his cover.
So after the whole mess, you know, we took a cab with my homies and we had a good time with him, actually. He's a very good dude. I don't talk to him anymore. We didn't exchange numbers or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, after the night was done, I was just like, you know, enjoy your movie, shoot, and enjoy your time in Cape Town. Peace. Because obviously we weren't going to be friends or nothing. He was in his zone.
It was a memorable moment.
It was a memorable moment, man. I'm like, yeah, I chilled with that dude from The Wire.
Oh, that dude!
That dude.
Yo, that's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah, that's a dope story. So what we're going to do is we're going to Google dude. And then when I'm going to write the backstory for today's episode,
yeah,
I'm sure I'm going to have names there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, even up to now, man, I can never figure out his name because we didn't even have that. Like, yo, what's your name? It was just like...
But I know him. Dark in complexion with
the
scar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I can see him right now. Yeah.
The wired dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fam. So thanks a lot for coming through. So if people want to follow you, what handles can they get you at?
Yeah, man. So my Twitter handle is at When You Dutch. I'm mostly a Twimble nowadays.
At When You Dutch.
Yes.
At W E
N Y U D U T C H.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, that's me. You also find me on Facebook. It's Kudzanai Gerald Tondlana. It's my government name. So, right. You know.
But do you ever use your Facebook account?
On and off, man. I mean, I'm hardly ever there, but I do drive by. So, if you inbox, I'll probably see it at some point. But Twitter's where I'm at mostly. Instagram, I use, I don't have a personal account. It's at Creative Natives Africa. So, you can holler at me there as well.
All right, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, and be sure to follow us on our platform at The Juice at THEDJEUCE. Or you can holler at me on my personal account, Elliot Twist. Yeah. So, thank y'all for tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap.
Yeah, man. It's been good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Peace.
Peace out. And now. Capital 263.